Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Grant. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Sorry for that delay. My phone had bombed out, and I had to start over. So there was maybe a... excuse me. Well, there we go. We have a great start this week. How's that? are you there?
I am.
Exactly. So my phone actually went off for some reason at the beginning.
Okay.
And that's why
I wondered what happened, because I was on the show and didn't hear you or
concerned.
We apologize. But I'm glad I don't have to be.
Mm-hmm. We apologize for the technical difficulties. And we'll continue to try not to have technical difficulties, but there'll be other difficulties, I'm sure. and that's good. See, we tried for the comedic flair in the first 20 seconds. And if you have sort of...
And then after that, we're deadly serious.
That's right, because we're always very serious on this show. It's important because we want to have SD. We don't want to have serious disease happening, just like the rest of everybody in the world. And having said that, on a serious note, we talk about the international bankruptcy each week, which is a very exciting topic, as I always mention. And for those people who fall asleep when I mention that phrase, being the platform of my political views, the four planks that hold up the platform, or actually the pillars that hold it up at the platform keeps you from falling through, correct?
I'm sorry, the connection's not perfect, so what was the question?
Oh.
I heard correct, but I didn't hear what you said just before correct.
I was attempting to make a jest. I was trying to make a joke. In terms
okay.
of the planks of a platform, you know, they use an analogy of in politics
mm-hmm.
and in banking, everybody makes those glib commentaries about the platform, right? We're on a platform, right? Okay. High in the sky, and there's a short plank in between the actual sides of it, and you have to walk the plank. If you have one plank, you may teeter and fall. We have four planks, so it's a wider platform. But if the planks are narrow, but since we're not narrow-minded, our planks are very wide, open-minded. All right, those four planks are health, sovereignty, solvency, and agency and shadow. All right, I've gone over that for the past 10 years. Hopefully somebody has actually understood what I've talked about. However, having said that, I have a UK group on Sunday mornings that I reiterate things on a constant basis. So it's constant repetition to really understand these things because, as I say, we went through a schooling and we were supposed to have gotten all the knowledge that we needed in life in school, correct?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
So we infer that, right? That when everybody goes to school, they have all the knowledge necessary for life, correct?
Do you think everybody infers that? I don't.
Oh, you don't infer that? Okay.
No.
But isn't that the entity we're supposed to go to school and learn things, correct?
Well, I think maybe that's what they want you to believe in school. I don't know. It's been too long for me to step in school.
I'm just saying in terms of the unwritten concept, the unwritten idea that if you go to school, you learn things. And then after that, it's a matter of going to work and don't really learn things anymore, correct? I mean, albeit I think people understand that you learn things, but the entity says, okay, you go to school, and then afterwards don't pay attention to Grantham Taylor Hughes. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You're from Siam? Yes, I am.
No, I'm not from Siam. I said I am here, but I don't know. I actually haven't been to Siam, so I apologize for that. If you want me to visit Siam. Does Siam still exist, or is it called something else?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. And I apologize for the people out there. If Siam doesn't exist, then the joke probably fell flat, correct?
Okay.
All right. Okay, so we'll continue with the show and try to be somewhat pertinent instead of my impertinence so far, correct?
Right.
All right, last week we talked a little bit about hell, which is an important issue. Yes, it's an important issue for me because I always make the joke that, and it's probably not a joke in reality, that why bother with politics if you're not healthy? Or as I even make it even further, why bother with
anything? Why bother with anything if you're not healthy?
And that's true, but I'm saying even to the extreme point, if you're dead, what's the point of politics, right?
Well,
yeah. So take it to its extreme potential, and then it's even funnier, right? Because it becomes hyperbole at that point. And I take that from Woody Allen. I steal his hyperboles, his exaggerated humor. Instead of falling off a bridge that might be 100 feet, fall off a bridge that's 100,000 feet. You know, the impossibility of it makes it funnier. Correct?
Yes, absolutely right.
And then my guest host is very good at giving one-word answers. I've been talking about her for years. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, but you have to understand there's a reason for those one-word answers tonight.
Oh, I see. Because she's in transit, too. Or actually transit, but in transit.
I'm actually, yes, I apologize to everyone, but I couldn't make it to the landline in time, so I'm actually in the car, so if I'm a little bit distracted, that is why.
Oh, that means you're multitasking, right? Or like most people, they're on the phone anyway. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I didn't hear what you said, that's all.
No, at the toll booth the other day, they said, they said, get off the phone and drive, right? and drive your car, be specific. Get off the phone and drive your car, right? Well, you have it. People are on the phone and they're not driving their cars. So that means they should have a driver, you know, in terms of a driver, and then they could use the phone in the back seat, correct? All right, so I guess she fell off. She fell off. We'll probably get her back on shortly. But that's the nature of the contemporary phone drops. I always jokingly say, when I was younger, they had AT&T as a monopoly on telephones. We didn't have things such as a phone drop. They had party lines, so people were interfering, listening in the conversations. But, frankly, I think I'd prefer that than to have my phone drop all the time. For instance, tonight my phone dropped it when I started the show. So I truly apologize for that taking place, for those people that couldn't wait 10 seconds. Anyway, so my guest host had fallen off, and she's probably scrambling to get back on the call. In the meantime, the four planks, as I briefly touched on hell, and we talked a lot about it at length last week. And the second plank is sovereignty, and my opinion is we need an enacted sovereignty, and I think it's a distinctive and important opinion regarding the fact that we're in a contracts law world. That means we deal in paper, and our oral dissertations are not really valued right now in terms of our opinions, oral opinions. That means because of the fact that we have money, which is a contract that we use as a medium of exchange, well, that would be one of the contracts that are very important in our society. In order to properly use that contract, like a policeman will say sometimes when they stop the citizens on the road, to inquire about some sort of offense, supposedly social offense, or driving offense, I should say. Not necessarily social offense. Yes, you're going to socially offend people by driving. Oh, well. Having said all that, I apologize for that faux pas, all right? Anyway, so the officer sometimes will ask the individual, they'll say, did you know that driving is a privilege and not a right? But as I've said, in police science and political science, they don't really have an answer to that. They don't really answer what is the right. And I've often talked about the right means the birthright, the one right that we have when we're born. All right, now, that birthright would be fine if we were in a society that wasn't using money, no medium of exchange, an indirect trade society, but we're not using that. We're using a monetary society, which means if you look closely at the dollar bill, there's two signatures that makes it a contract. The word contract means two, and they track the documentation and sign it. All right, so that's your dollar bill, and the dollar bill also has a 1792 coinage act suspended. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, with the Federal Reserve note on the front, which makes it a debt instrument. All right, now, I wasn't really moving towards that per se, but I was just pointing out that it is a contract and it's proof of a contract's law world. All right, now, further proof, and the prime contract would be land titles that people demand to have in terms of proof of the ownership of land. And I try to say, well, you shouldn't own the land, you should manage and control it, because ownership means you owe taxes, duties, and allegiance, just like the taxes, property taxes, because one declares himself an owner, which is a big issue. However, back to the point, is that it is the first contract in terms of the title, the land title. However, if we look farther back in history, the American tribes, their attitude was that if you declared your place of the place that you lived upon, that was good enough because they considered, in terms of being descendants of the Lemurians, that they considered that the universe was a vast place. There was plenty of room and no competition, that you could virtually have as much land as you wanted to if you actually declared it. Well, it wasn't an issue. You see what I mean? It wasn't an issue because it wasn't a concern. And therefore, the concern for controlling and the contracts law issue of trying to designate things on paper became an issue by the Western Europeans when they came over and pretty much conquered the American tribes. All right, so they instituted contracts law in terms of money and banking. And therefore, in my opinion, the sovereignty that we're born with, which is called ordained sovereignty, must be enacted as a contract to prove that you have the birthright to use the privilege. Therefore, that's what the police officer doesn't understand at all, because they don't teach that to him in his job description. They don't teach that to him, but they will talk to you about the fact that a license is a privilege and not the right to use a privilege. In other words, you can't issue both things by the government, and the government can issue licenses, but they can't issue you the birthright because you have that by virtue of being born, which is ordained sovereignty. Now, again, my view is it needs to have an enacted sovereignty in a contracts law world so that you can prove that you have the right to use the privilege. That's the undertow of what the policeman is trying to say, is that you need, Mr. John Q. Public, you need to get a sovereignty certificate from your private trust in order to prove that you have the right to use the privilege. But he doesn't ask you for that because he really doesn't know that. Inwardly he knows it, but not outwardly. So that's a big issue. In terms of infrastructurally, the proper essence of politics does exist, but who's the voice of it? Do you want to listen to Rush Limbaugh? I don't think so. I mean, that guy is off the wall. So there are a lot of people that do a lot of different shows and talk about a lot of things that are totally incorrect. However, Grantham Taylor Hughes is always telling the truth. Right, Gabriella, are you back? Oh, I got to click the over. I'm sorry. I will do that.
So
okay,
you're
back on now. I apologize.
The problem of calling from the automobile Bluetooth is that I have texts come in on my
phone at the. I actually had two people texting me and calling me at the same time that I was on the show, and I guess it was too much for the system. It disconnected me.
Yes, so, it's too much for the system. It couldn't handle it.
It was too much.
Oh, it bails out electronically. It just becomes overwhelmed, right? The system,
yes,
with the electronics.
Overwhelmed. I know I was.
Overwhelmed. Just like human beings. The actual electronic entity, I can't take it any longer. Oh. And then it short circuits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying earlier when you had actually had disconnected and dropped. I always made the joke that back when I was, when our younger days, when AT&T was a monopoly, they didn't have what was known as a phone draw, but they had party lines, which is worse, a party line when people listening in or when the phone breaks off, right?
Yeah, that's true. I guess when in the days when they had party lines, I guess people could listen in and know all your business. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, if they don't do that now, the company does it now. They don't necessarily scrutinize, but they record everything. But they've been doing that since the beginning of AT&T or beginning of the whole idea of the telephone. They've been recording them forever, but they won't own up to that.
Do you think that's true? I mean, where are they going to keep all these recordings? I mean, the whole idea is preposterous to me that they're actually recording millions of phone calls, billions of phone calls every day. That I don't believe it, because where are they going to put all these recordings?
Because there's a lot of space for it. Storage, you store things in a lot of different weird places in the world, in caves and things of that nature. At the same time, people say, well, how can they afford to do it? Well, you're talking about exemption account. You're talking about trillions of dollars. So they do it, but what's the point? See, it's called complete and total paranoia, but I don't really call it paranoia. I just think it's like Everest. It exists, so you climb it, so it's there, so you do it. So technology is a matter of engineers having something to do, catharsis. They go to
mm-hmm.
school for engineering, and that's all they do is recreate things, invent things, and change things, because that's the nature of the beast. I don't really think there's a contrivance of control. I mean, people get into that and stuff, but I really don't. I think it's just serendipity of doing stuff, you know? Like they claim there's a big conference table, and they're all in control of it, you know, the bankers and whatnot. No, and the bankers don't even know what 1 + 1 = 2, ironically. So to say it's contrived, I'm thinking no. I mean, just like at conspiracy theories and things, I think I kind of agree with all that, because I don't think people have time to conspire to do anything, much less tie their shoes. You like that? I thought you would. We'll conspire to tie our shoelaces, maybe, right?
Yes, right. That's why a lot of people wear loafers, so they don't have to say that.
You ruined my joke. Thanks a lot. You stole my thunder.
I didn't know you were coming up with that joke. I just beat you to the punchline. Sorry, I had no idea that was going to be your joke.
Well, didn't you read the script there? I gave you the script. You didn't read the script this morning, right?
No, I didn't read the script.
Excuse me. We do not have scripts, just for the record. Yeah, I want to make sure of that. We do everything extemporaneous on this show, don't we, Gabriella?
Yes, we do, actually.
Yeah, the genius of extemporaneous. We've been doing this for years, so it gets easy after a while. Albeit, maybe it's no good in terms of extemporaneous speeches, but I think it's a lot of fun nevertheless, correct?
Yes, we're having fun.
Yeah, we've done really
fun.
Well. We've almost burned up 20 minutes so far. But I messed up the first 30 seconds. I was scrambling to get back on the phone. I had 22 seconds, and then my phone drops. I go, oh. And then there was a delay, a computer delay. I mean, if the computers were just in sync and did things right away, but they don't, because they're not fast enough. But they're fast enough to say internet works. Internet, sorry.
Yeah.
The internet, what?
Internet.
And a lot of people don't realize in the 2000s when the internet actually became feasible. Prior to that, they were using dial-ups, and it would take you, probably a couple of hours to get one email, and maybe even longer, all day long. It was really awful. The internet was really no good before 2000. A lot of people don't realize that. that the internet, in terms of its feasibility, is only about 16 years old. I mean, especially young people, they think, oh, the internet's been here forever. What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't living in this country when they start people started really using the internet. As far as when it started getting big, and there were internet cafes, so I don't know if that's what they started with here, internet cafes, because I guess that was before people had internet, you know, to
well,
their houses.
I don't know when that started.
The
computers weren't fast enough before 2000. So you're talking about they were running about 200 megahertz. Until they got into gigahertz, that made the internet feasible because it was too slow. See, a lot of people don't realize that history. They weren't paying attention. They just passed it up and don't care about the history of what was taking place. But they didn't understand at 200 megahertz, it was just too slow. So it actually it quadrupled by the year 2000. And when they got to 1 gigahertz is when the internet became fast enough to make it worthwhile. Okay, now we're running maybe close to 3 gigahertz. Okay, but then some of the computers, but it's not even fast enough. But I always say it's never going to be quick enough because if you have to hit the key and there's a delay. See, if there's no delay when you're hitting keys, then but you see, it's always a delay factor. I mean, the human being is swifter in terms of its state of consciousness, always is going to be faster than the computer, no matter how fast it is. But in terms of feasibility and memory and all these things, if there's any delays, and a lot of it's just bogged down with advertisements and things of that nature, that's why I recommend to people, make sure you have a pure form cleaner or some kind of cleaner to clean your computer every couple of days, you know, and then you should run fairly well for a long time. If you get bogged down, it's just that people aren't cleaning their computer. And also defragging and cleaning. I defrag. It's supposed to automatically defrag. I don't know if it does. I don't trust it, so I do it myself. Anyway, I blew off like 3 minutes talking about computers. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about we're not talking specifically about the planks.
Talking about sovereignty a little while ago. I was getting into sovereignty, more about enacted and ordained sovereignty. I think sometimes that might be a hard thing to understand, that we're the actual nature of being born socially would be categorically ordained sovereignty in a society without contracts law. But contracts law is the issue, but again, to understand that we really need a sovereignty certificate in order to show that you have the right, the physical, documented, certified right to use a privilege. And it's not an issue right now, but I would say in 20 years it might be an issue that people have to have a sovereignty certificate would be the size of a license, like a wallet-size sovereignty certificate to show that document. Yeah, and probably people will probably be asked for that at some point in the future, because it's real necessary to have the right to use a privilege, because people just don't have that. And technically, they're doing license torts on a moment-to-moment basis if you don't have an enacted right. Excuse me. Yep. I'm sorry. All right. It clears his throat. The frog may jump out pretty soon. Hopefully it will. We sometimes talk through those things as you're trained to do when you're doing public speaking. You talk through the frogs. And then if my voice sounds froggy, then that's because I was one of the little rascals back in the 1920s. Remember Froggy? Yes, Froggy had a deeper voice than I did. All right, and he was only 5 years old. Anyway. But some people think I'm 5 years old, correct? Because I act like it. Never mind. I was talking too fast. Thank goodness I got past that very quickly.
That's good, I guess.
Yes. So the sovereignty issue is very important. But we have to be clear in reference to how to sequentially have that shored up in terms of contracting. Contract sequence is very important. in reference to just like the idea of the money. The money has no contract sequence because it doesn't have a certification backing the note. And I don't like to use the word backing. I hate to even say that word. But when we have a debt issue, then there is a contract breach, a breach of contract, which is an offense, is a civil offense, actually. It wouldn't necessarily be criminal, but it's documentation. But sometimes they construe that under lower levels of criminal activity in terms of securities fraud and things of that nature. But having said that, we need to have contract sequence in order to properly use the sovereignty in our society. That's why I've mentioned this, and I'm probably the only one that really understands this from the past. In the past 10 years, I've tried to explain that to people, that you need an enacted document certified sovereignty. You need a document. If you don't have a document, then you should have one. And we issue those documents. I'm a little slow because I do it myself. I don't leave people to do that. And so I apologize to people for being slow in issuing those things. However, I think in the future that the hospitals, just like they issue birth certificates and they apply that to the bill, and people don't even notice that it's applied to the bill, that eventually they should have sovereignty certificates applied to that also. In other words, they should be issued to the hospitals, and the sovereignty should be issued prior to the birth certificate. See, because if you issue the birth certificate before you issue the sovereignty certificate, that would be a licensed tort. It would be a civil violation of your licenses. You see, so you need the right before you use the privilege. So that means that everybody out there that is using driver's licenses or, excuse me, I can't seem to clear my throat, I apologize, a fishing license or just a marriage license, they're all civil violations and they're called torts because you don't have the right to use a privilege, documented right to use a privilege. So you understand that, correct? Were you going to interject something there?
No, I don't want to interject anything. Sorry.
I see. Okay. I
know you're hoping for an interjection, but that's not happening.
Yeah, I'm always hoping for feedback.
Yeah, but, okay. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, no, yes, no. I see.
Yes, no.
All right, so are you clear about the sovereignty issue?
Yes, I am clear about the sovereignty issue.
And the sovereignty means in English soul reign, like this, the essence of man should reign in the body. And in a monetary system, the document needs to be documented.
Is that SOLE or SOUL?
Okay. SOUL. All right, I see that. I would call it the essence of man soul reign and not the bottom of your shoes, correct? That means you'd be standing on your head, talking to your soul,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're getting back down to the end of the show, and I want to thank you for being the guest host each week. Gabriella, thank you for being here. I appreciate your presence and your commentary.
I promise next week I will not be in transit, so I will not be so disconcerting. So I apologize to all who are disconcerted by my disconcerting behavior.
Yes, and the key buzzword here is disconcerted, right?
That's right.
Does that mean you're not playing music in the concert, right?
No, absolutely not.
So what instrument do you
play?
You play the piano, don't you? Okay. All right, so let me wind down here. Let me thank the journeymen that come on each week, and also for the new people, it's a real pleasure and an honor to present the information, especially the funny parts. I enjoy that most profusely, correct?
Yeah.
I'm trying to milk 20 seconds. I started a little bit early winding down, so I have to. I might be able to sing a song in 10 seconds, but it'd be a short jingle, correct?
It's probably not necessary.
Wasn't jingles a Roy Rogers sidekick? I'm pretty sure. All right, this is Grant and Tell Hughes for my show. Have a great week, and goodbye for now.